Hey, folks, it's Adam Summer for the Heartland Pod. This episode, this Tuesday, July 5th episode, a little bit of a special episode. I've got an intro for you, and then it's actually a replay of last year's July 4th episode titled Steal the Declaration of Independence. So we'll get to that in just a second. This episode, I'm recording on July 4th, and, you know, if this is your first time you've picked up the Heartland Pod, this will have a little bit of history for you, and if you're a fairly new listener. So the show debuted on July 11th. We're just about to have our two-year birthday or anniversary, and that episode was just me talking into a microphone for about 24 minutes. I talked about Roger Stone. I talked about what this show was going to be like, and I talked about the fact that progress is on the ballot. And that, in fact, was the name of the first episode, Progress is on the Ballot. And this weekend really underscored a lot of that. If you've listened to the Monday, July 4th episode, you heard a lot of live audio with myself and Rachel Parker and Jessica Piper and several people in my town at a rally for abortion rights. My wife and I went. We took all three of our kids. We took our special needs daughter. We took our 15-month-old daughter. We took my son. And they participated. And they saw what it means to stand up for not just progress, but just basic human decency sometimes. And that hasn't changed in these 2 years. Today, on July 4th, a ultra MAGA shooter, somebody who Roger Stone would have gladly stood shoulder to shoulder to and shook hands with and called a patriot, opened fire on a July 4th parade, killed multiple people, wounded dozens of people, all in the name of what? All in the name of what? I don't even know what that person thinks they're fighting for. Freedom? I can't imagine that's what they think they're fighting for. It certainly doesn't appear to be that. And so I have to wonder what it really is. And it made me think about that show from 2 years ago, and it made me think about where this show has come. And we'll talk more about that, on the actual date of and around it. But I just want to say thank you to all of you to listen and or for listening, excuse me. It means a lot to us to keep getting to do this. And, I didn't write this down because I wanted it to be what I was really thinking about in the moment. And it's just powerful right now. And we're here for you, and we're here to talk to you and with you and sometimes for you if we need to. And we're glad that you're here, and we hope that you will continue to bring folks in. If you're somebody that, you know, a friend just showed you this podcast recently, or maybe you met me, maybe you're somebody that I just met and gave a card to on the street the other day, I hope that you'll continue to share it and continue to help us grow this audience and continue to help us grow this community and this communication platform, because it sure seems like it is more and more important every day. When I said progress is on the ballot in 2020, I couldn't tell you that today was going to be the way it is. I did not see that. And I am glad that we are here. I'm glad that we're all here. And I hope we can keep working hard and trying to change the conversation. So what I have for you here, this replay, is it's fun. We had a good time recording it. And as serious as everything is, sometimes just having a little bit of fun goes a long way. So keep that in mind with dated references. It's a year old, so that may, you know, come into play. All right, here's Steal the Declaration of Independence.
It's just a lot of fun. So we're going to have some fun. So the rules are, number one, once a movie is picked, it is off the board. Number two, you have a minute or two per movie to justify why it is a substantially superior patriotic movie to the other picks. Number three, patriotism, of course, as we have learned since 2001, is subjective in its application. So it is up to you to justify your pick as to why it is or is not truly and actually wonderfully patriotic. We'll put them all together. We'll put it out on Twitter. We'll put a poll underneath of it. People can vote to tell us which one of us nailed this patriotic movie draft the best. We went in order of nothing. We just decided that Rachel would go last because we think she's going to have the more obscure movie picks. So Sean gets to go first because we think he'll have the more like Golden Lab movie picks. So,
well, I think it's also fair to say that like I've got like 15 years on both of you, so there's just always going to be a level of like, you know, is it obscure or were you just not alive? That's okay.
Yeah, was it totally mainstream, but I just never learned it that it existed
because you were two or whatever.
All right, so Sean, you get the first pick. What do you got for us?
Okay, well, you know, I feel bad taking such an easy one that, you know, 95% of Americans would probably confidently just write down as their first top patriotic movie. But I'm going to take it anyway because I got the advantage of going first. So, An American Tale, which features the Mouskowitz family, specifically Feifel Mouskowitz, and their journey.
I was not ready
from
for that at all. Feifel.
It's been a while since I've seen anything take out of Summer at those. That's pretty great.
This is a 1986 animated film. Yeah, the Mouskowitz family are Russian mice, or I think it's a fictional Eastern European country called Shatska. I've got the Wikipedia back in front of me.
I don't think it's real. I don't think there's a mice country.
Right. Well, they're mice, and they live with the Mouskowitz family, and their name coincidentally is Mouskowitz, and they're mice.
Do you have to justify this as a patriotic?
Why is it patriotic? Other than it's called An American Tale, why is it patriotic?
Have you ever heard of something called the Statue of Liberty, or America's immigrant tradition?
The Statue of Mouskowitz in this case.
Yeah, so they immigrate on a ship with other people in rags and nothing, and you know, having big dreams of a country of prosperity and dignity and safety.
It's Mouse Yentl. We all know it's Mouse Yentl.
So, but yeah, he gets separated. Feifel gets separated from his parents. He ends up being exploited in late 19th century labor conditions.
Sure.
Is able to mouse paw his way out of that and have a nice American family reuniting story. The FDNY, the Fire Department of New York, is featured. Statue of Liberty is featured. America are absolutely featured.
This might be the moment that animated goldfish come governor Mike Parson learned that movie is not based on actual history.
I'll tell you what, I don't think you had to pick that first. But I do think it's a sneak. I think it would have come back. I think it would have made it back to you. But it is a sneaky good pick.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I couldn't risk, you know, letting it ride.
So that means I get to go second, which means I get to take there's only one first pick in a patriotic movie draft. And it's Independence Day. It's got to be Independence Day. You will be launching into the largest battle in the history of mankind, fighting for your right to live. Fighting for your right to live, said Bill Pullman. The Beastie Boys fought for your right to party, but Bill Pullman and Will Smith and Randy Quaid fought for your right to live.
Right.
And Jeff Goldblum, sir. Do not forget about Jeff Goldblum.
Absolutely.
And Jed Hirsch.
Yeah, Jed Hirsch.
Vivica A. Fox.
Vivica A. Fox, yeah.
Excellent film. Harry Connick Jr., of course.
Independence Day.
But
I've got it right here. This is the best part. Hold on, I got it.
Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today.
A little problematic.
We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore.
Oh, just give it a minute.
We will be united in our common interest.
Randy Quaid.
Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution.
So good.
Is the music swelling? Is that what I
yeah.
mean?
Absolutely. But
from
yeah.
annihilation. Yeah,
it's like Mystery Science 3000.
We're fighting for our right to live. To exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight.
There's still a minute left.
We're going to live on.
Where do you go?
We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Just doesn't get any better than that.
So I'm pretty sure that Trump plagiarized that for his Inauguration Day speech, right? Isn't that? Did he just like take that? He just cribbed it a little bit? Like,
which the only way he could have done better, yeah, he should have just had Bill Pullman come. And he was just like, and now I'm going to have Bill Pullman say a few words.
Yeah. No, it is. That is definitely the quintessential American story, because America saves the world in the plot.
Right.
And then also, I love how Bill Pullman declares how the world in the future will think of this right. event.
Not just as an American
It'll
holiday.
No longer be just an American holiday. Everyone
yeah,
will.
Somehow science fiction, but also perfectly accurately represents American exceptionalism.
It's so incredibly arrogant.
Yeah.
It's remarkably arrogant.
It's low-hanging fruit.
What
Adam,
if it's July 5th in some places or July 3rd? Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah, did we think about the international dateline?
We're in Australia. It's still the 3rd. That's tomorrow.
So that's my pick, Independence Day. It's just the best. Rachel, your first pick? And you get two in a row here, so you're going to pick two movies in a row.
Okay. All right, that's great. I didn't know that, but I'm glad these are going back to back. So my first pick, and I'm super excited because I don't think you guys would have thought of this one. The 1978 version of Superman.
Oh, man.
To me, there is nothing more patriotic. That shit is more patriotic than John Wayne.
That's
that
a
movie.
Good one.
And I saw it in the theater when I was a little girl, and I have some very strong feelings about how Christopher Reeve made me feel. if somebody had asked me at that moment, like, do you think you're gay? I would have been like, oh, no, I'm straight for sure. Like, who? He makes my lady parts feel funny. So I went to go see this when I was a kid in the theater, and I remember when he recites the line, "I'm fighting for truth, justice, and the American way." The whole place went it went nuts.
Right.
I had no idea what was happening. I was like, because I was a little
kid.
Put this
in the background for you. Keep talking.
Oh, thanks. there's a couple of really great documentaries about the various making, like about the making of Superman. It's a really strange like confluence of producers and directors and stuff, especially if you like read about the sequel. Anyway, the other reason I picked this movie is because it's very near and dear to me. And there's also like, oh my God, at the time, like,
why is it patriotic? Yeah, it's just like Christopher Reeves was a hottie.
Well, no, because like he's the American hero. Like he's, you know, he's from like Americana. He's from Smallville.
He's no Fievel Mouskowitz, I'll tell you that. But
I didn't realize that Sean was going to take such issue with my Superman pick. No, but like also like he fights nuclear weapons. Like that's
contest.
The problem. And he fights nuclear weapons. I don't think there's anything more kind of like Americana than the Daily Planet. And like, they just played it so straight. Like they just played the movie super straight. It's super corny, except for Margot Kidder, who's utterly 1970s. So like everything in the movie is like, you know, ripped out of kind of the sentiment of the original kind of like 1930s radio dramas, except for her. And she's full on like, post Charlie's Angels, smoking cigarettes, getting in trouble. So she's like this like Barbara Walters feminist thing in the middle of this like weird. And I just thought the whole thing was awesome. Like it just changed my whole life. So I had to say Superman.
I can see that. So Superman, the 1978, the first one in the Christopher Reeve series. What's your next pick?
My next pick, going a super different direction, is the movie Red Dawn.
Oh, yes.
The 1984... the 1984 movie Red Dawn, which is it's kind of in its own weird way. So that movie, they did a remake of it, which I will not see. I will not see it, sir. I will not. I know that one of the Hemsworths is in it. Maybe both of them are. Is that one of the ones that they're in together? I don't know. But the original.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
The original has like 30% or so of the Outsiders cast. So Patrick Swayze, C. Thomas Howell, I think it was Charlie Sheen's. It might have been Charlie Sheen's first movie. It was definitely who's the mom from Back to the Future?
I just Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson. It was definitely her first movie, and it was Jennifer Grey. It was her first movie, and we have to. I can't share my screen, and I don't want to open IMDb. I don't want to make the mistake Sean made a little while ago. It'll just freeze my whole screen. But the picture on that IMDb shows is so unbelievable because it's got like the young cast looking all hot and like Jennifer Grey's like making out with a gun. It's amazing. But it's about Russia invading the United States by way of Cuba, and this group of like ragtag kids wins America back from the heartland. It's preposterous. C. Thomas Howell drinks deer blood in it. It's in John Milius, who wrote Apocalypse Now, directed it. It's the strangest thing to see this guy who wrote this like definitely full on anti sort of American military movie.
Yeah, it's like Adam's going through these pictures, and it's almost like if the Breakfast Club, like they weren't like the antagonist isn't the principal, but the antagonist is like a fascist super.
Like that was the pick. No. Like what if it was the Breakfast Club, but communists?
No, that's exactly what it is. No, except that it's like probably like 3 or 4 years before the Breakfast Club, but like it totally is. It's like that teen movie. It's like the new dawn of the teen, like these new teen heartthrobs who have all just graduated from The Outsiders. Most or a lot of them have doing this. I think like Swayze might have actually shot this before he was in The Outsiders. I don't know. Like it was all kind of like that early 80s Coppola world. And I just remember there's this one part where Swayze's like, and Powers Booth is in it. And he's like this like grizzled guy who's like always like coaching the kids. And like, it's so fucking bizarre. And it ages horribly. And of course, like it's very anti-communist stuff and anti-Russia and totally fits the time for that. But my favorite part is when Patrick Swayze is talking about like, why should we be fighting these people? And he just yells all of a sudden, because
these supplies, they're getting arrows.
Oh yeah, they get yeah.
Sorry, well, I've cut you off right there. The arrows are just too much.
Yeah, it's so there's one part where Patrick Swayze's like making this rousing speech. Somebody's like, well, why should we? Whatever. He's like, because we live here. And everybody like rouse, like throws their hands up in the air. And I remember like what, like as a child thinking that there was something wrong with me because I thought it was so stupid and all the kids I knew were so rah-rah for it. And I was like, am I weird? And like, no, I just needed to move a little bit further to the West. That's okay. All that needed to happen. Yeah.
Here we go.
There it is.
Let's see what we got here. See if we can make this happen for the show.
Okay.
You're 40 miles behind the enemy line.
I just want to go home.
Oh my God. This trailer's amazing.
They took a lot of people away.
Where's my dad, Mr. Director?
Oh yeah, Harry Dean Stanton is too. Oh yeah,
I just love somebody, Andy. I'm gonna die before it happens.
If you're able to, and you listen to this. You gotta watch this trailer.
So why should we be different?
Because we live here.
Oh God.
My Amazing. Gosh.
And I'll say too, the last time, so I think I've only seen this movie twice in my life. I saw it once in the theater when it came out, and then I saw it on the 4th of July at a midnight screening at the New Beverly Cinema in Los Angeles, which is like, if you're a cinema nerd, that's like sacred ground right there. So it was super fun. It was just a really, and I think like my husband and I had just started dating. Like that might've been like one of the first times that he and I hung out together was to go see the movie together. So anyway, Red Dawn now officially kind of has a special place in my heart as a patriotic movie because I saw it on the 4th of July, ironically, at a midnight screening in an art house in Los Angeles. It's a lot.
It was a lot of Red Dawn. So that was the pick. And my next pick is going to be, I'm going with National Treasure. Nicolas Cage.
I was hoping somebody would do with that.
The basic plot. Though.
Yeah. I was like, I don't have it because he's one of my favorite actors of all time. I could talk about him for days. And I didn't have a Nicolas Cage pick on my list. And I almost picked Birdie as like a reverse patriotic movie. But that I knew somebody would pick National Treasure. So thank you for repping Nicolas Cage. I appreciate it.
You have to do it. And I've got the perfect reason why, and I'm not even gonna, I don't even think I have to make my own argument. I'm just gonna open up the top, let it breathe.
Written here about freedom, there's a line that's at the heart of all the others.
This is perfect.
When a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object,
the passion
evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security.
I'm not sure if he's reading it or if it's memorized.
People don't talk that way anymore.
Beautiful. Huh. No idea what you said.
It means if there's something wrong...
See, perfect.
Those
American.
Have the ability
like I had
to
no
take
idea.
Action have the responsibility to take action.
He didn't know what any of that meant. But he's pretty sure he does when it comes to birth control.
I'm going to steal it.
Wait, he steals it?
Yeah.
What?
Maybe I'm not aware of the plot.
I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence. It's the best line ever. I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence because there's a secret treasure map on the back.
And I love that the subtitles say walks away cage-like. That's a nice cage-like. That's good. Nicely played. Whoever did that. Good for
you. So he's a treasure guy and he's looking for a different treasure.
He's been looking for like the American treasure, like the American stash of like all this gold and wonderful stuff, and there's his family is like a legendary failed treasure hunters that also somehow have enough money to live in like beautiful colonial Virginia homes, but that's beside the point. and
isn't like, one of them Helen Mirren? Isn't she in that movie too? Yeah,
they live in a house like Josh Hawley in Virginia, and yet they're these like failed treasure hunters. So anyway, there's this whole thing where like there's a treasure map on the back. I can't believe I'm explaining National Treasure to you, Sean.
The treasure map on the back rings a bell. Maybe I'm thinking of one of the sequels. I thought Nicolas Cage gets the Declaration of Independence back for America.
Yeah, and then in the second one, he kidnaps the president. Which is somehow to me odd that they thought it would be more difficult to kidnap the president than to steal the actual Declaration.
I think in this, I feel like Con Air is obviously more patriotic than National Treasure at this point.
Probably so.
John Malkovich.
I also think that what you just did was set up the Jeopardy category for films that Harrison Ford passed on, and you just like can just go down the line. What is National Treasure 1? What is National Treasure 2?
They're going to kidnap the president, Mr. Ford? No, I'm just going to keep smoking weed on my porch. Thanks.
I only play the president, and I never get kidnapped.
I don't get kidnapped, or if I do, well, maybe that movie will come up. All right, Sean, it's your next pick.
All right, well, if we're going to grant that Superman is a patriotic movie because it embodies the American journey or some of these values.
Truth, justice, and he's fighting for truth, justice, and the American way.
Yeah.
And well, a movie theater was? Full of people lost their mind. Who?
Joe Dirt, and I think that's my next pick.
It's got fireworks.
Right. That's a good...
Snakes and sparklers are my favorite kind.
Feast your eyes on a feast of smoke.
We're going to need YouTube for this one. Sean and I could just do this for about an hour and a half.
For
about
real?
An hour and a half long.
Yeah. Molar whirl. Yeah. I have been wrestling with this since we started talking about the patriotic movies thing. I knew I wanted to do Joe Dirt. I couldn't find a way to shoehorn it in. But
listens to Sweet Home Alabama at the beginning.
Very good point. Yeah. Drives. Yeah. Kid Rock is in it.
Yeah. Kid Rock is in it.
Yeah,
he drives a Roadrunner.
It's a fire. It's a Firebird. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Trans Am.
Great. Kid Rock drives a Trans Am.
I think that little slant six has a chance.
I just want to say that I'm being a lot more accepting of your Joe Dirt pick than you were of my Superman pick, and I still don't know why you're hating on my Superman pick so much. The guy's wearing a red, white, and blue suit, dude. Come on.
No, that's true. No, I don't mean to hate on it. I think it was an excellent pick. Yeah, I just didn't understand the rules. And now that I do, I'm picking Joe Dirt.
No, don't try to trip you up, Dirt.
Dead giveaway. You're my lucky meteor.
All right, Sean, what's your next pick?
Yeah. Next, I'm going to go with Live Free or Die Hard, the fourth in the Die Hard series.
Yep.
There you go. Someone had to do it.
Yeah.
About fucking time.
I was really skeptical of that movie after being such a devotee of the first three Die Hard movies.
It was so good.
It was so good. I saw it in the theaters with some buddies.
It's and, no vengeance, but it was yeah. so good.
Is that the one where he crashes he somehow outrun a helicopter? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is pretty Fast and the Furious.
Before the fighter jet scene is the, he ramps the, is it a motorcycle, I think? And like he gets off, or it's a car or motorcycle, and he
there's a whole sequence with a semi. It's pretty wild.
Into the helicopter, like after the tunnel.
Yes.
When he comes.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, and there's a great line. So I saw it in New Orleans, and there's a line in there when it's like, "Do you think things could really go that bad?" or something like that. And then Justin Long from the Mac commercials is like, "It took 4 days to get water to the Superdome," and then everyone in the theaters is like, "Oh!" Like, the place went nuts. So that was really cool too.
That's where Tim Olyphant plays the hacker, right?
Yeah,
God, yeah. So dreamy. He was so dreamy in that shit. Oh my God!
All right, that's a fun pick. Quite a change from American Tail and Joe Dirt. That's nice. That's fun. All right, so my next one is we're gonna get a little bit musical with it, and I'm going.
Oh,
with
nice! I know where this is headed.
The smash hit starring Mr. Feeney himself.
Yes, thank God.
1776. There are people out here listening to this who probably think that Hamilton is the first time that the Founding Fathers sang.
Yeah, it's possible to be nerdier than Hamilton. There is a nerdier
significantly
piece of
content.
Significantly. I think if people watch Grace and Frankie, they know this now though, because
that's
on
true.
The show Marty Sheen is in. I didn't know it existed until I watched it. I was like, "Is that real?" And I was like, "Oh my God, this exists!" Like I had no idea.
Yeah, so I've got a little bit of that. I have to do. We have to put some 1776.
Yeah, and I don't remember anything about that movie except how excited I was, right, that we were watching it at school.
Yeah, we watched it in sophomore English because our English teacher was retiring. And so we watched literally a dozen movies that year.
Maybe more. How awesome. Many weeks or days are in school?
I was in my second year of law school before I learned how to use a comma. And that's not an exaggeration. Look at this. Mr. Feeney is coming down those stairs. Got his John Adams hair. Got his cane that he's not using, just waving it around wildly like a sword. And this music is happening. Can you imagine making this movie today and you cut this scene with all this music and like the producers be like, "What the fuck is there this insanely long scene of a man walking down the stairs?"
Lose it.
That one useless man is called a disgrace.
Anyway, Mr. Feeney, John Adams. Ben Franklin is played by the guy who plays the friend of Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins that hiccups himself onto the roof. Plays Benjamin Franklin. So,
I think I remember being so pumped that we were watching it at school. And then just from that clip, I remember the other thing that I remember about it, which is Mr. Feeney just sounding extremely self-assured the whole time.
Well, he was John Adams.
Right, right.
Yeah. I don't know what you wanted from him. He's John Adams. Method acting. So 1776 is my pick. Rachel, you have two more picks.
Okay. This one should be on here. If Live Free or Die Hard and Red Dawn are on here, I have to go with Rocky IV.
Yeah.
Good one. Good one.
It made more money. Fun fact, made more money than any of his other movies. I think it might have made more than the first three combined.
We always get the film thing from a Southern California lady.
I know that because my husband told me. He's like, we have a lot of Sylvester Stallone stuff in our house. And
oh wow.
And nice. Like that's another one that I saw that in the theater and I felt really dirty because I liked it. And I knew I should
movies that got young Rachel going.
I loved the first three Rocky movies. Rocky III is one of my favorite movies. I'm just going to tell everybody that right now. You can handle me all you want. I have a secret dream, by the way, that you guys are just going to learn about. That one of my secret dreams is that I will someday do a podcast, like two or three podcasts in a row or something, with Ryan Coogler just talking about the significance of race in the first three Rocky movies. Because I think I don't think that Stallone gets enough credit for, and maybe he doesn't deserve it, it's fine, but the way that he cast those movies, the way he used the Apollo Creed character, the way that he used the Mr. T character, all that stuff, I think is...
I always wanted to do the movies as a statement.
I was just saying, I was waiting for someone to do like an impression.
Guys, he's really smart. Come on. He's a smart guy. He wrote those. He wrote
very well thought, you know.
He wrote all of them, and he directed the
No, it's unbelievable like, when you actually put this man and then you... And then you like pair the artist side of it where like he was writing Rocky and just like basically living on the streets and was like, no, I really believe in this movie. And then he won the Oscar.
Yeah. He, wow, he's a smart, he's, you don't have to like Stallone to think he's a smart guy, but like.
Yeah. We got Rocky. We got the CCCP. We got muscles. We got swollen eyes. Oh, go Rocky.
You got two synth tracks at least.
Boom.
I don't know if this up. And also he used his, you know, he famously used his brother used in quotes his brother's music, so I think that the Frank Stallone track looks like, oh no, wait, maybe that's not a Frank Stallone track. He might've written it. But anyway, they use the same song all the way through. And there's like this, it's the first Rocky movie that's very post MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, there's all these just like ridiculously long montage sequences where he's training in Russia and he doesn't do any sparring at all, but he does like drag a tree through the snow because right. This one's about us versus them. Like it's all very like jingoistic and
because we live here.
Right. I remember I never had cable, but I remember a moment where I was watching VH1 many years ago. And on that show, they had people like us recalling that montage.
it's kind of, and it was just him being like, I seriously, guys, look at the sick shape I'm in. I mean, just look at how shredded I got for this movie. And another fun fact that I learned from my husband is that, so Dolph Lundgren was in personal security. He had not done a movie before. He was still dating Grace Jones at the time. He's a really smart guy. I forget. He's like a physicist or something. He has some like advanced degrees. His family is like super, they're all educators and like they all have PhDs and crazy stuff. And he was a kickboxer. That's kind of where he came. That's sort of like where his athletic prowess comes from, is Dolph Lundgren used to be a kickboxer. And so they're filming the movie and he's kind of pulling punches on Stallone because he's like 8,000 feet tall and Stallone is like 5'10 or whatever. And he's like, and Sly was like, just throw the punch. Just go ahead. I'll be fine. And he's like, I'm a really big guy. And so, Stallone ended up in the hospital because Dolph just popped him in the chest. He said he didn't really try to hit him that hard. He just popped him in the chest and he got this massive contusion around his heart. And so like his heart was like surrounded in fluid. Jeez. And the doctor was like, what did you do? And he's like, I let this gigantic Norwegian man punch me in the chest one time. And this
that's kind of a, you know, dick move. It's right. Like, you know, come on, punch me one time. I can take it. And it's like, go for the chest. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Well, that's
maybe
that's
one in the shoulder first.
That's what the fight choreography was though. I mean, he's like, that's where the fight choreo was. Like, you know, all that stuff.
Is that the punch that killed him in the movie? Does he die in those movies?
No. Apollo Creed dies. Haven't you seen Creed 2, bro?
Watch Rocky,
Apollo man. Creed dies. And oh, spoiler.
From 1980.
I heard that Carl Weathers wasn't the lead in Creed 2 or the second one, boycotted it.
Creed,
so Hobby
Creed.
Lobby.
He's dead. He's dead. He's been dead. Oh, Creed's awesome. Creed's great. Yeah, Creed's I love that stuff. Movie. Creed's
all right,
amazing.
So your list is Superman, the first Superman, Red Dawn, Rocky IV. What is your fourth and final pick?
This feels a lot more crucial than it should. You've and I feel kind of, I feel really conflicted because none of the picks that I have female protagonists or directors.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I have movies on here where that's true.
Sounds like you're stalling.
I kind of am because I want to say Norma Rae because that's a smart thing to say. smart thing to say would be Norma Rae, because like it's a movie about like the labor movement and Sally Field and The Sign, and she wins the Oscar, and it's sure. like, but I'm gonna say fucking Team America is what I'm gonna say.
You took it. You took it.
I did. I took it. Team America.
It's ready to go.
It's the one. I mean,
America. I mean, you got it. It's unbelievable. I remember watching this in the theater. Losing my mind. Anyway.
And I have to say, that was another fun, like, going to see that in the movie theater, because it had gotten horrible reviews, right? And I heard those guys, and I have so much love for Matt Trey. I
never laughed harder in my life, except
for
except for seeing Book of Mormon live,
or any South Park episode. I mean, they're just or when they wore dresses to the Academy Awards when they were on acid and all that amazing stuff. So they were on NPR talking about this ridiculous movie they were making, like super smart NPR, National Public Radio, you know, all things whatever it was, and it was going so badly and costing so much money. So they were talking to the effects people, and the effects people were like, yeah, like we make these really expensive puppets and then they just destroy them. And it's just, I mean, it's part of the process, I guess, but these people, like, they're puppeteers. They're not used to like puppets blowing up, you know, famously whatever budget. And so, I think it was Matt Stone. This sounds more like a Matt Stone joke than a Trey Parker joke, said that they decided that no one should ever do another movie with puppets except for James Shandiak, who I don't know why they had to pick on him. Who's the guy that directed like Cable Guy and a bunch of other kind of like mainstream comedies at the time. And they were like, Shandiak, he can do a puppet movie, but nobody else is allowed because nobody deserves this. And I just remember thinking that was so funny. But yeah, Team America. Rescued a country in despair during the middle of the Iraq War.
So, God, I laughed so hard at that movie. All right, so my last pick, going to have to go. I'm just going to go with my heart here. I'm going to go with my heart. It's Mighty Ducks
2.
Okay.
Gordon Bombay, fresh off his stint as a minor league hockey star. A new injury. He comes back to round up the crew, add some new faces. They got
that was
junior.
Emilio Estevez's first movie, too. Is that right?
God, Mighty Ducks? No.
No. No. Repo Man might have been his first movie.
They got the Junior Goodwill Games. Gordon Bombay is coaching Team USA. All our old favorites are back. Plus, they add in Kenan Thompson with his knuckle puck, the wisecracking street hockey player from L.A. Puck. Like, it's where you find all the street hockey players in L.A. Everybody knows. That's where you find him. And they get him on Team USA. They bring back the Flying V, those sweet Mighty Duck jerseys, the like official, the only sports team that was just created by Disney.
Yeah,
the Mighty Ducks.
That's when I lost interest in the franchise. Honestly, got too much for me. Yeah,
they vanquish Team Eastland and their coach, the Dentist, who's a former NHL player. His nickname is the Dentist.
Was he the guy who? Well, never mind. The Dentist didn't have
the guy with the slick back hair.
Being that I've seen nary a Mighty Ducks movie, I was a little north of the demo when they came out. What happens? Like, why is it patriotic? Like, what?
They're
is
Team USA. They're Team USA, and they win the Goodwill Games.
Okay.
What are the Goodwill Games?
They're the Goodwill Games. They're the like the Olympics, but for kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Come on, man. It's Mighty Ducks. So anyway, Mighty Ducks 2, Team USA with the knuckle puck. It's very patriotic. You got to watch it. All right, Sean, last pick. Bring us home.
All right. Man, this is tough.
There's a lot still out there. I'm just going to say there's a lot of just... just right off the top of the deck, patriotic movies, buddy. What are you going to do? Is it going to be more?
Come on,
yeah,
Gary.
I mean, I think I'm out of ideas. Can you lose the game? I think I might have lost the game.
You have to have a pick left. There's so many.
I mean, I
there's
have,
one we were joking about before we even started that nobody's taken that would be perfect.
Is it the Five Will Goes West, the American Tale 2?
That is a good movie, too.
No, what were we talking about?
We were talking about some movies that star Australians. We were talking about historical movies. We were talking about all kinds of movies.
Well, yeah, no, I think what got me messed up was, like, you know, especially now that I have a daughter, like I'm a lot more, you know, cognizant of movies that have all men, just all men.
Mm-hmm. So most of them,
most of these,
then,
right?
Yeah. Most of all of them. Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you what my feministy picks were going to be. And I was really going to stretch the credibility of Patriot, but I'll do that after.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to do problematic ones, which I think, you know,
most of mine can have
the hard conversations. Yeah. So, like, because of the common thread with Independence Day in the silent female character, Dances with Wolves. This is going to be my last pick.
Oh my.
Yeah. So,
the name of that movie actually is, we call it Dances with Bangs in my household.
Nice.
Because why can't you get a wig for that woman? I still don't understand, like, what the hell happened? You have all this money, no wig department for the lady with the feathered hair. Like, anyway, continue, Sean. I apologize. You go on.
Yeah. No,
why
I mean,
is it patriotic?
So,
well, he's a Civil War soldier, first of all.
Right.
He?
He's a military person, which, you know, in the old definition, bails, I think just means
he bails on the Civil War. He walks out. He's like, I'm done. That's it.
Right. Which is not very American.
But that's true. Yeah. No, I mean, he's out there giving it his best. No, I was thinking of Apollo 13, actually, another movie with all men. And I think that would be my last pick, but I didn't want to do a movie without any strong.
Okay. I'll give you a shot to flip it. Are you going with Apollo 13 or are you going with Dances with Wolves? Final answer.
I'll go with Apollo 13.
All right. Houston, we have a podcast.
Right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Ed Harris, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks. More men.
I'm a little surprised.
Who else is in that movie?
It's historically pretty accurate.
I'm a little surprised that nobody went with Captain America.
Yeah,
I'm a little
It was on my list.
And I'm also a little surprised that nobody went with The Right Stuff. That was on my list.
I had the Patriot. I had Air Force One.
Patriot was awesome. Yeah, I did have that. Yeah.
I mean, nothing's more American than Mel Gibson and Heath Ledger. Nothing says America like two Australians
who emigrated to America.
Yeah,
right. No, I was going to say, nothing says America like burying the hatchet in a British guy's forehead.
Yeah.
In a swamp.
The Right Stuff is sneaky underrated. Also, I thought you were going to take Superman 2, because Superman 2 is when the White House gets torn down and Superman puts the White House back up and he flies the American flag to the White House. And he gives it back to the president. Like, he puts it back and he goes and tells the president, I'll never let you down again, sir.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
like two on the nose.
Yeah. Kind of.
And I also thought Dave was in my honorable mentions.
Oh, there you
go. Kevin Kline looks a lot like the president.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
when the president becomes incapacitated, instead of the vice president taking power, Dave takes power because he looks like the president.
And that, yeah. I would have given you credit for that, because that's based on The Prince and the Pauper, which is written by Missouri's very own Mark Twain.
Daniel Langhorne Clemens, of course. Yeah.
That would have been good.
I also had The American President.
I was surprised that I thought for sure you were going to say that one.
The foray into, I mean, it's basically just a very long, pilot episode of The West Wing, like in reality. Yeah, I like that one a lot too.
And then I have some ironic ones. I was going to say Dr. Strangelove, because I think that's just maybe the best. But yeah, it is really kind of telling when you go through all these movies and you're trying to find like a movie that is both patriotic, because most of the time when women are in movies from the era that I grew up in, they're always the victims of something.
Right.
They're always like, and usually it doesn't end well for them, like Silkwood or something, because most female historic figures, like, things didn't necessarily end well for them. Right. Like, that's part of what
makes Red Dawn actually so good, is like Leah Thompson and Jennifer Grey are just part of, they're just badasses.
Yeah, they kind of become feral. It's sort of crazy. Yeah. Like they've got dirt
on their faces and they got rocket launchers on their shoulders. And
speaking of which, Tank Girl also, I think, is an American enough story that I don't want to forget it. And Tank let's just make Girl. Sure it makes it.
Okay.
Nice. That's an American enough story. I like that qualifier. It's American adjacent.
Enough. It's American enough.
Has the essence of an American story to it. Well, awesome. Well, that was a ton of fun. Thank you, guys. That'll be up on Twitter for folks to vote on. Hope everybody has a great rest of the week, and we'll see you all next week.
Have a nice holiday, you guys.
Thanks, you too.
The Harlan Pod is a production of Big Bad Media LLC. Producer Andrew Summer, analyst Rachel Parker, and Sean Miller. Guest this week, Jessica Piper. All audio is used in parody. Get over it.